What does it mean to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is the third day in a row that we've been talking about this verse from a particular perspective. Don't worry, you can go back and listen to our previous episodes in this series at faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're discussing a popular phrase from Philippians, work out your own salvation. What does it mean to work out your salvation? That's the question we're asking. And we're looking at an article by John MacArthur on that subject. It's called What Does It Mean to Work Out Your Salvation? You can find it at gty.org, gracetoyou.org. And basically, MacArthur has been arguing that there's all these verses in the New Testament that say we have a duty to persevere in faith and good works, which is true.
Right.
We do have that duty. But MacArthur says we have that duty because otherwise, if we don't, you will not be eternally saved.
And that's wrong.
And that is wrong. That is very wrong. What he's missing is that there is a purpose to persevering in faith and good works, but it doesn't have to do with eternal salvation. It has to do with, well, a bunch of other things.
Right. Eternal rewards is one of them, and we've been talking about that. It also has to do with well-being here and now. If I walk with Christ, then I'm blessed, and so are my people around me, my family, my spouse, children, neighbors, extended family, people at work. Everyone's blessed if a believer walks with Christ, and everyone experiences some level of cursing if the believer does not, because his life is not an overflow of godliness and good fruit unless the believer is walking with Christ. So we've been looking at an article, this article by Dr. MacArthur, and at the very end of the article, he cites Philippians 1:6, and I thought we might look at that and then also go ahead and look at Philippians 2:12, just so we can go to the actual beginning of what the whole article was about.
All right, Philippians 1:6 is this: being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So for MacArthur, that is a proof text for the idea that genuine believers will persevere in faith and good works until death without fail because Jesus is the one doing it.
Right. That's his view. We don't have time for a detailed discussion, but I would suggest go to our website, faithalone.org, and look up an article by Dr. John Hart. He's now retired from Moody Bible Institute. He did a great article, something like 25 pages, on Philippians 1:6. And what he shows is this. Philippians 1:6 goes back up to verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Dr. Hart shows that your fellowship in the gospel refers to their sharing. The word fellowship is koinonia, means sharing, in Paul's gospel ministry. Financially, they sent gifts, and you can also look later in the book, I think it's Philippians 4:17-19, about how they've been giving to him and how they're receiving eternal rewards because of that. And the point is, when he says in verse 6, being confident in this very thing that he who began a good work in you, the good work is their fellowship in his gospel.
So the good work is that they were giving him money.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
And by the way, that's not just Dr. Hart. That's many commentators point that out.
Okay, so completing the good work is completing the good work of financially supporting Paul's ministry.
Right, and notice what it says. He who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Jesus Christ is the judgment seat of Christ. Mm. And what he's saying is, you're going to receive eternal rewards. What you've given is going to have an ongoing impact even after you die.
Wow.
In other words, it seems to me right now the Philippians are receiving some reward for their participation in Paul's gospel ministry because all of the epistles of Paul to some degree were financed by them. The ongoing fruit from Paul's epistles gives him eternal rewards, but it also gives them eternal rewards.
Wow.
And so the point of Philippians 1:6 they were making very shrewd spiritual investments when they invested in his gospel ministry.
That is a completely different take than the one suggested by MacArthur.
Right.
Because the typical thing is the fellowship in the gospel is to be born again or to be saved at all. And that is what's going to continue. You're going to be saved at all, or you'll be identified, what, as a Christian or something, until death or until like the great white throne judgment or something.
Right. Most of these people see the day of Christ Jesus refer to his second coming. So until his return or something. Which also wouldn't make much sense, because unless you're alive at the time of his return, once you die, you're not going to sin anymore.
Right.
Once you die, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. The point is, there's going to be ongoing fruit from their fellowship in his gospel. So I don't think that's a good proof text for him.
But it is a good proof text to encourage you to give to faithful Bible ministries, starting with your local church. You know, God is going to reward you eternally. Not necessarily, see, like prosperity teachers will say, you know, if you give a dollar, you'll reap $100, you know, in this life.
Right.
You'll become rich in this life if you give to ministries. I don't think that's a biblical teaching. But what is a biblical teaching is if you support the gospel financially, you will be rewarded for that.
And it's mostly in the life to come. Some of it in this life, but not necessarily material. But let's go to Philippians 2:12, because that's the point of Dr. MacArthur's whole article. And I think we can sum things up there.
All right. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
The way that Dr. MacArthur takes this, as we've seen, was that this is a guarantee they will work out their salvation if they are, quote unquote, true believers. They will persevere in faith and good works. And so they're being told to do what God guarantees they will do. It's a command,
right?
But it's a command that they will fulfill. Some commentators have said a command that every believer will do, no matter what, and absolutely can't avoid doing, is kind of a silly command.
Right. It's kind of like telling a stone to be heavy.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm just like, well,
stay solid.
Yeah, stay solid.
Stay solid. Don't melt.
You're kind of like, okay, that doesn't make sense of the text at first. You know,
right.
That's not the first interpretation you should go to.
And one problem he has is notice the words your own salvation. Why does he say your own salvation? Well, because this isn't the first use of the Greek word soteria in Philippians.
Okay.
In Philippians 1, I believe it's verse 19, Paul says, "For I know this will turn out for my salvation."
Right. Some translations might say deliverance.
But it's the same Greek word soteria.
Right.
And the salvation that Paul is looking forward to in Philippians 1:19 is not that he goes to heaven. The deliverance he's looking for is that he will handle his persecution. Philippians is one of the prison epistles. Paul's in prison in Rome, and he's not sure if he's going to be put to death or not. And he's saying, I know that your prayers and the supply of the Spirit will work out that I handle this persecution in a way that honors God. That's what salvation is. And so in 2:12, your own salvation is there under persecution too. Paul's been talking about this in the letter, and he's saying working out your own salvation means that you are working so that you too will be honoring to God in your own persecution. And you're doing it in fear and trembling because you know you're going to appear before Christ and he'll evaluate you based on what you've done.
All right. I'm wondering, because in previous episodes, we talked about he who endures to the end will be saved, and that's salvation from the tribulation.
Right.
Why can't it be salvation from the persecution itself?
Right. Well, it could be, theoretically, but in the case of Philippians 1:19, Paul probably wasn't saying, I know this means I'm going to be released from prison, because he has just said, whether I live or whether I die, I don't even know which one to choose.
Right.
Paul doesn't seem certain that he's going to be released from prison, but he is confident that he is going to have this salvation, this deliverance. So it would be handling the trials well.
Okay.
But the other part of it is, notice the verses that follow. It goes on to say, do all things without complaining and disputing. Mm-hmm. That's what working out your own salvation is. Mm-hmm. But it goes on that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among you shine as lights in the world. Well, the crooked and perverse generation, the people persecuting them, and they're right. Shining among them in the world, shining as lights. Remember, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men
right.
that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what working out your salvation is, shining as lights.
Is that what it is, or is that the result of it?
That's a good point. Either way, it's the same basic conclusion. Whether that's the fruit of working out your salvation or that's working out your salvation, either way, the your salvation means handling your persecution and your trials well.
And by the way, to answer my question from before in verse 17, Paul says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, it sounds like he isn't praying to be saved from this. He's expecting, I'm going to be a sacrifice. I'm going to be poured
right.
out. Interesting.
So the point is, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and we have articles on this on our website, is basically saying, and there are different ways to handle it. Like you say, this could be salvation from God's wrath in this life. Or it could be salvation from other things, calamities in this life. But I would suggest that it is handling persecution well.
And is there any guarantee that someone will do that?
No. The book of Philippians is clear. That's not guaranteed. And the whole New Testament is clear. That's not guaranteed. But it is guaranteed if we continue in the faith, if we continue to hold fast to Christ and to his death, his resurrection, to live at the foot of the cross, to live at the entrance to the empty tomb, to constantly be watchful for his soon return. Well, then we will be one who does continue to walk in the light, etc. But that itself is not guaranteed. There's no guarantee we'll keep the right mindset. That's why we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encouraging each other, exhorting one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Christ is soon to return. Let's encourage one another in our local assemblies so that we might hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other free grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow in the program, we're going to continue talking about perseverance, but from the perspective of another famous writer. You're not going to want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.